Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, happy to be here with you, not just because of everything that's going on in the world, but I'm just happy to be here with you. Kind of fond of you. I like you a lot. Now it's getting weird. Going to get even more weird as we listen to the Joe Rose Show, talking with former Dolphin Mark Clayton. Joe Rose, Mark Clayton, they caught passes from Dan Marino. That's going to be interesting. Dan Lebatard Show goes cruising while Hawk and Crowder talk to former Dolphin and restaurateur Kim Bocamper. Right now, though, let's dive into the headlines. The Miami Dolphins are reportedly interested in XFL wideout Cam Phillips. Phillips plays for the Houston Roughnecks. The Florida Panthers plan to pay part-time employees throughout the COVID-19 outbreak. Goalie Sergei Bobrovsky has donated $100,000 in support to the organization's employees. Former Canes kicker Bubba Baxa will transfer to the University of Houston. Baxa played his high school ball in H-Town. Inter-Miami CF announced Andres Cordero, Fernando Fiore, Kalen Kyle, and Ray Hudson will round out their broadcast team. It is expected matches will be aired on CBS. ESPN analyst Kirk Herbstreit says he would be shocked if there is college or pro football this fall. Neither the NCAA nor the NFL has altered its schedules so far. And now, let's take a step into the day spa. A message in a bottle from Germany traveled 19 years until landing on the shores of Ireland. Germany to Ireland? I'm guessing the message was, need more beer. A mother in Great Britain has gone viral after posting a video singing along to Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. In the video, she sings of having plenty of wine, snacks, gin, and homeschooling. It's official. She's my hot mess of the day. A patron of a Naples, Florida restaurant recently left a $10,000 tip. I'll serve that person almost anything for a tip like that. Packers QB Aaron Rodgers says he recently left Peru seconds before they locked the country down on a private jet. Hey, Aaron, did you bring some of that great Peruvian food back for us? Now on to weather brought to you by Hialeah Park. Today's forecast, temperatures around 80 with a slight chance of rain. Let's get in to some of that Joe Rose Show. This is a treat right here. You may be locked up. You might not have much to do, but this is going to help you occupy your time. Joe Rose talks with former teammate Mark Clayton. What do they talk about? How he fell to the eighth round of the draft, coming in with a chip on his shoulder and jumping over cars.
Marino back to throw. Under pressure. Whips it for the far side. It is caught by Clayton. He's at the 45. Down to the 30. Back to the middle. 25, 20, 15, 10. He's gone. 5. Touchdown, Miami. What a great play, Mark Clayton.
All right, well, how about that highlight? And joining us now, the eighth round pick, pick 223 of the 1983 draft. Mark Clayton joins the show this morning. Mark, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. How y'all guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. And I'm going to get you back to South Florida at some point, man. We're missing out on too many damn good times, and I'm not in my 20s anymore, so you got to hurry. You got to hurry and get back here so we can act childish, man. I miss your ass real badly, I'm telling you right now.
Sounds good, man. We can make that happen. We're going to make that happen.
You know, of all the time I've been with you in the morning, late at night, at practice, sitting next to you for years while we're going through film study and putting in game plans and stuff, I almost forgot you were an eighth-round pick. Like, how in the hell did that happen? You didn't just get good with the Dolphins. I was shocked to find out what happened, Mark. What did people tell you that you end up going in the eighth round?
Well, they you know, I had been worked out by the scouts off season after my senior season and stuff, and everybody was telling me that they had me projected to go between the third and the fifth round, something like that and stuff. But, you know, I was like, man, I was all green and naive. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about in the first place. I just was happy that they were interested in me. So, but then, you know, then the day of the draft, I end up just looking at the first round. I said, well, I didn't go in the first round, so it's time to go out and party.
But, you know, it's amazing. Like, one of the reasons I was so surprised, you're one of the greatest athletes I have ever played with, your ability to jump, body control, like, you must have, did they have you do all that stuff? You ran by everybody, by the way, so that wasn't an issue. You had as many long plays as anybody. Did you have to do all that? You must have done well in all those tests with the NFL teams.
I did do all that and stuff, and back then, if you can recall, they had two combines. They had one in Tampa and one in Detroit, and just like all the other, you know, things that they had for senior stuff, I got overlooked in both of the combines too. I only got to go to one, just like I didn't get to play in any postseason bowl games for seniors, not even the toilet bowl game or the East West Shrine, the weakest bowl game for senior. I didn't get to play in any, so I wasn't able to showcase my talent and skills there. But you know what, JoJo? You said I ran by everybody, but coming out of college and stuff, you know, I didn't run a fast 40. I did not run a fast 40. I think my fastest 40 coming out of college may have been like 4.6. You know, but I knew I was faster than a 4.6.
Right.
But the time that I tested, I ran a 4.6. I think that was one of the things that, besides, you know, my stature, that was one of the things that kind of like maybe scared him off. I guarantee you, had I ran a 4.4 or better anytime I ran for them that year, I guarantee I wouldn't have lasted to the eighth round.
You realize, like, if you were to go today and you win the first round, with your career, you'd be known as a great first-round pick. You're aware of that. And how about this? When you go in the eighth round, you wouldn't have been drafted today if you were in the eighth round. You'd be a rookie free agent. How crazy is that?
That's very crazy. That's when I tell my story to kids that play football. I tell them that story right there. And today's standards, I wouldn't have even gotten drafted.
So did you come in with a little chip on you? You've never lacked confidence, my man. So that's never been a problem at midnight, 8 in the morning, or 1 o'clock on Sunday has never been a problem. So did you come in with a little chip, or how'd you treat it coming in?
I come in with a big chip on my shoulder, even though I didn't really know the gist of what it took to even make an NFL roster. But I still just felt like I just got just overlooked again, because just like when I came out of high school, I got overlooked then. I only had two scholarships coming out of high school, and I thought I was pretty damn good in high school. And so I got two scholarships coming out of high school. I felt like, wow, what a slap. Okay, so I'll go there and I'll show them, you know. So I had to pick one of the two schools that either Indiana State or Louisville. So I said, hey, man, I want to get out of Indiana, so I'm going to go to Louisville, all 107 miles away from Indianapolis. And so I'm like, wow, I'm out of the house at least, you know. And then in college, again, like I said, man, you know, I was like, wow, man, you know, I had my senior year, I caught for 1,114 yards. And I think I was like up there in second in the nation in average yard per catch. So I felt like I had a good senior year. So, you know, I was like, damn, man, I didn't get drafted to the eighth round. Another slap in my face. Wow. You know, so
Mark,
yes, sir.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Well, I was just going to say, what's amazing to me is, I said this to Joe earlier, was it's not like you went to a small school. You didn't go to, you know, Duper went to Northwestern State, you know, whatever it was in Louisiana. And like a lot of these guys, like, went to like these small schools. You went to,
you know,
Louisville.
Duke might be listening. Don't be dogging Duke now.
No, I'm not dogging Duke. Right, Duke was a second round pick out of a small school. You went to Louisville. The fact you had a good senior season, you were well known. It's amazing to me that you lasted till the eighth round. It's amazing what, like, today's day and age, you have tape on everybody. But I can imagine back in the day, it wasn't hard to get tape from Louisville, probably from a smaller school like Duke's. It's crazy.
That's true. And we play stiff competition. You know, my senior year, we played Florida State, played Oklahoma State. We wasn't in a conference back then, but we played big times big-time school. So, you know, they had to – you know, I played golf the other day with a guy who was on a Oklahoma State team, the Jimmy Johnson coach, and he said, man, I remember you play. He said, you tore our butt up both games in Stillwater, and we came the next year in Louisville. But I said, it still didn't get me drafted to the eighth round.
It didn't matter what I did. Hey, Mark, I got to ask you another part because people don't know this, and I do. You come in, and Duriel Harris is here, and Duriel was – about Duriel.
Yes,
how hard was that?
Added fuel to my fire.
So what's that like when Duriel, who used to tell all of us, I was here when you got here and I'll be here when you're gone, was his go-to line. How much of that motivated
you? That was extra motivation right there, you know, because I said, man, I'm going to show this guy. Man, he don't know me. Man, he's going to talk that trash. He, I looked at him like he's old. Yeah, I'm going to have him looking over his shoulder, and I'm going to take his job. Well, he's talking about he's going to be here. He was here when I came, and he's going to be here when I left. But I got a chance to get him back, though, when he got up out of Miami. I said, hey, and then we brought him back when Duper got here. I said, hey, bro, you might have been here when I came, but I guarantee you, I'm gonna be here when you're gone.
Oh my God, that was
payback.
That was crazy. It is pretty cool this time of year, though, when people start. I mean, it doesn't make you feel any better about being an eighth round pick, but Clay, the things you're able to do, man, like when they do that draft steal and start looking at picks to get you in the eighth round, whatever it was, because at that point you were jumping over the rim in the offseason playing basketball and jumping over cars for money. By the way, is that story true about you jumping over the car?
All true. It was dumb, but it was true, though. It was dumb.
What kind of car was that you jumped? I can't believe you jumped over
a Volkswagen.
Damn car. Who'd you have that bet with?
One of my buddies, drinking buddies in college.
you know, too much, man.
I did that for $10 in a bull, slit small liquor bull. a 40 ounce of slit small liquor bull.
You must have been real thirsty or really wanted to party, man, to do that. That was crazy. Hey, as you look back during that time, just that draft class, Danny's taken into the first round. Even old Reggie Roby, man, he was a little different dude now. He's a little different bird. He flew a little different, but he could punt. My man was damn good. That's a pretty good draft, huh?
Oh, my God. You know what, though? I look back over throughout the years, and I look at, you know, the class of 83 draft. That whole draft, crazy. Not just the Dolphins draft, but that whole 1983 draft. Man, we put some studs in the league, and we got like 7 or 8, 9 Hall of Famers in that draft right there.
It's unbelievable. Listen, my man, we just wanted to have you come on, man, and share some of that history of all those things. 582 catches, almost 9,000 yards, and 84 touchdowns, my God. And a lot of them seemed like yesterday, man. They were special.
Maybe one day I'll get a little recognition, you know, down the line. Maybe, you know, people will recognize what I did in camp, maybe.
I hope so.
Let me tell you, does that bother you a little bit that everybody talks about it, but nobody's doing it with you?
No, no, no. You know, that would be a hell of an accomplishment, an accolade for me. I'm probably put that at the top of my list right there of things that happened to me in my lifetime. But you know, I don't have any control over that right there. You know, I did what I had control over. I played out there on the field. Now it's up to the other people to acknowledge what I did on the field. It's not up to me.
Well, I got to tell you, the best move you've made is that woman you married. That's what I think. That is special right there. Now, that night in Houston was special right there. That night was crazy.
Hey, you know, hey, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, and a broken clock is right twice a day. So I'm good to go. I think I'm good right there.
Well, listen, one thing left, man. We got to get you back down here. I think everybody misses you, Clay. So thank you so much, man. I appreciate you getting up early with us, man. Thank you.
Not a problem, Joe. Anytime, man. We can do this again soon.
Doesn't get much better than that. Joe Rose, Mark Clayton, they both caught passes from the great Dan Marino I can remember as a child, Mark Clayton. That guy could play. Also seems like he could party. So Mark Clayton's ever in town, I want to hang out with he and Joe Rose. Sounds like a good time. It's always a good time with the Dan Le Batard Show, weekdays from 10 to 1 right here on 560 The Joe. Up next, They're going cruising on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day. I am also on Twitter at Dan Day Radio. Go ahead and follow me. I promise you, you will not catch coronavirus, at least not from my account. You can always step in the day spa, sanitized day spa, very clean, at least when we talk about germs. It's not always clean when we talk about content, but get into it at Dan Day Radio. You can always get into the Dan Le Batard Show right here on 560 The Joe, weekdays from 10 to 1. Earlier today, the team was talking about Jason Williams wants to go cruising and middle of nowhere football. Or is it football?
Jason Williams says play the NBA season on cruise ships. Alan, do you have that sound for me? This is Jay Williams. Jay Williams on Golic and Wingo. Here he is saying, let's play the rest of the NBA season at sea.
And then you already have Mickey Arison, who is the owner of the Miami Heat, who owns Carnival Cruises. Now, granted, Carnival Cruises has been going through some challenging times as of late with some of the cruise ships and what they've been dealing with. But I think if the NBA, if you are trying to find a way, if this happens in May or June, we're still not in that great, great place, but maybe we're in a better place. Maybe if you can take two of those massive cruise ships and there's testings before everybody goes on the ship, you allow the player and their immediate family, being that wife or their kids, are allowed to go with them, and you have an Eastern Conference cruise ship and you have a Western Conference cruise ship. Obviously, everything is sterilized all the time. You have the media companies that are able to drop their equipment in. You never really go to shore. You stay out on the cruise ships, and you build two courts on those cruise ships. Now, I know fans may not be allowed to go, but still, broadcasting companies could actually broadcast these games. Team members and their family members could be isolated to a degree for that span, if that's 40 days, whatever it may be, and then you're allowed to potentially have these games, the Eastern Conference Finals. You go right into the playoffs. Maybe you give a week for each team to prepare, but you go right into that for the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and then you have the championship game on a cruise ship.
A truly horrible idea. not merely horrible, but I've got to emphasize, a truly horrible idea all around to do it that way. So thank you to Jay Williams for providing that for us on Golic and Wingo.
I was laughing at him until I heard the idea of an Eastern Conference cruise ship
ship. That is exactly where he lost me, Stu Gatz. I was actually entertaining it. I'm thinking for a second, you know what? Let's see. Maybe we play it on the cruise ship. Now, why does there need to be an Eastern Conference cruise ship and a Western Conference cruise ship? Now it's patently absurd. Now you've crossed the line, Jay Williams.
Stu Gatz, Mike Ryan was telling me during the break that something that England is doing is they are thinking about the soccer teams finishing the season by just going to the middle of the country. It's not the Jay Williams cruise ship idea,
right?
But it's I'm wondering who first to market is going to be. It might be Khabib and Ferguson, but one of these sports teams is going to try and get out there and start making some money. Mike Florio's out here suggesting that the NFL already consider playing all of its games in the middle of nowhere with no fans, wherever middle of nowhere is. I don't even know where middle of nowhere would be. Is it West Virginia? Is it Wyoming? What is middle of nowhere? All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Middle of nowhere, West Virginia, Wyoming, Maine, or Vermont?
I think it's one of the Dakotas,
that's a good one. Yeah. One of the Dakotas. Yeah. One of the Dakotas. Okay, we could let the scientists do all the measurements on where the best place is to do to get our sports fix.
I'll tell you one place that's trying to get a head start on everyone is golf, Dan. We talked about this last week, Mike and I just clamoring for the Valero Open, but now Chris sent me a story last night where on social media, Phil Mickelson is talking about him versus Tiger Woods one-on-one on a course, and they only need three people, and everyone will be screened and tested. Each one needs a caddy, and they need one camera person, and they're going to stream it live. That would be amazing. Amazing.
Okay, I don't know why they need a caddy. They need to go ahead, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Do Tiger and Phil in this major pay-per-view event have to caddy their own bag? But Billy was arguing with Mike. What, Stu Gatz?
Well, I mean, listen, caddies are no longer working right now, and they need money. So if you test a couple of caddies, I don't know what you're doing here, man, all right?
Trying to not get people sick. What do you mean you don't know what I'm doing? What, Billy?
You have a caddy every day, Dan.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it. You were supporting Stu Gatz during the break on his idea, or on supporting Jay Williams' idea that we play the entire basketball season on cruise ships. As I mentioned, a truly horrible idea.
I think we should cut Jay Williams some slack.
And this is why, Dan.
Everybody knows that there's problems right now, correct? But not a lot of people are coming with solutions. Jay Williams is a solution man. So yes, this is an unprecedented time. Is his idea of the NBA getting two cruise ships, one for the Eastern Conference, one for the Western Conference, crazy? Possibly. Is having every player and their family on a cruise for over 40 days crazy? Maybe. I don't know. But what's your solution? He's just throwing it out there, trying to help Commissioner Silver, who I don't know if he's trying to come up with solutions, but it seems like Jay Williams is trying to come up with solutions. You have the Eastern Conference ship, you have the Western Conference ship. And then what happens when they play each other? Where do they play if there's two ships? Stugatz, where do they play?
We don't know yet, but they're playing for the championship. I mean, how about that?
The championship, Stugatz.
It's the joke.
You practiced it. We asked you not to talk. You talked as soon as Billy did. I asked Mike Ryan. I'm like, is Stugatz totally clear on the fact that it's hard to do the show this way and it's not everyone serving his every whim? He's got to hold out and not step on any of the Billy stuff. And you, what are you pointing your sausage finger at me for? That was 100% your fault. What happened there?
If we went back and rolled back the tape, what you would find is you threw that to me and not Billy. You actually addressed it. You asked it in the form of a question, and you said Stugatz. That's why I went. I quickly realized Billy and I were talking over each other, and I backed away from Stugatz, the mic. Why? Because I'm a team
Stugatz,
player.
2 minutes. Get out of here.
Like, oh, my God.
It's just a series of lies.
Bathroom.
It's just to cover. Yeah, get to the bathroom. Stay there for a while. Just like a series of total lies there. Don't put the microphone down. And get out of here. Don't take it to the bathroom with you. Do not leave the microphone there. You don't get to give takes from the toilet. You fouled up everything about that segment, okay? We had a good segment lined up.
You said Stugatz.
I did not say Stugatz. There was nobody was referencing you. And all I said to you is, please lay out so Billy can talk. And what you did is you thundered in there and you fouled up the entirety of the segment. Unbelievable, man. It's not hard enough to do this show this way. I just said to him, lay out so that Billy, and he's like, I don't know where they play the championship, Dan. This, what's going to come unraveled here, Billy, is how many of your jokes he's not responsible for. That's what's going to end up happening here. People are going to realize that the whole mask is going to get uncovered here, and people are going to know that you've been using Stugatz as a puppet for 7 years.
Couldn't even get to the part where we were talking about who captains the ship so he could just say the admiral.
It's unbelievable, Stugatz.
At this point, I wouldn't mind seeing some football in the middle of nowhere or basketball on cruise ships, but maybe it wouldn't be the same. We'll have to wait and see. I'm predicting. This is strictly me predicting. Everything will get back to normal probably Labor Day, so we might get the football season in. I'm thinking basketball, baseball, maybe a shortened baseball season. I don't know. I want to stay optimistic at this point, although it seems like every day I'm getting a little bit more pessimistic. So I'm going to stay optimistic and say everything will be back to normal as soon as it gets back to normal. That is not very much of a prediction nonetheless. Labor Day. I'm just guessing. I'm not guessing what's coming up next. It's the Hawk and Crowder Show, talking to the man, the myth, the legend. He was on Ace Ventura, Kim Bocamper. This is the Best of the Joe Show. The Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and I am healthy. Oh, please let me say that every day for the rest of my life. Not just in these times, for the rest of my life. Because the way I live, being healthy is a must. That makes no sense. But then again, not a lot of things are making sense these days. Things that are going on. Hawk and Crowder, they don't always make a ton of sense, but they were joined by Kim Bocamper. Does he bring a little more sanity to the situation? Nah, I guess a little bit. They talk about binge watching, which we all seem to be doing these days. State of the restaurant industry here in South Florida and really kind of around the world. Plus, the Dolphins' upcoming draft.
He played his entire NFL career with the Miami Dolphins, only the Miami Dolphins. And nowadays, he is ubiquitous on Dolphins broadcasts. He is always part of the team. And I think a lot of people in South Florida are very familiar with his restaurants as well. And he's joining us now. Hello, Bo.
How are you guys doing? Hey, Channing, I thought you'd be living in the high-rent district up in Boca. And Hawk would be down somewhere south. What's that all about?
No, man, I'm a Davie guy. Once I retired, Bo, I sold my house in Davie. Me and my wife looked around. Yeah. I'm talking about from Wellington all the way to Coral Gables, and I moved right back to Davie where I started at.
Yeah. Well, that's your spot. Get a little John Boat in your in your backyard, I'm sure, and you're ready to go whenever you need to.
My man, I know what it is.
He's going to be following his dad's footsteps when he gets older. A little lake house up in some unincorporated area in South Carolina. And
I tried to do it early when I retired from down here. After I sold the house, I told my wife, I was like, hey, let's move up to Georgia, out to the woods, you know, get some land with a lake. She said, have a good time. I'm not leaving South Florida. I said, yeah, well, that makes my decision for me.
I always enjoy joining you guys, but you're really cutting in on my rifleman time. I'm missing out on a good episode of Chuck Connors getting something done right now, and I don't know what's going on.
Look at that, Bo Camper at home watching the Rifleman. Things have gotten bleak, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk Dolphins with you, but I want to ask you as a business owner, because you've got the restaurants, and a lot of people know you from the restaurants. How are you holding up? I mean, this is such a crazy time.
Yeah, it's tough. It's good and it's bad. The good thing is that we're still, four of our stores are still open. We're doing takeout and delivery, and that's allowing us to feed our customers and then give them a little feel of normalcy. And it's allowing us to keep percentage of our employees working, which is the most important thing to us right now, is to keep our employees working so they can get a paycheck and keep their, but we've had to lay off, we laid off 300 people or more,
Wow.
Hourly people, and you hate to do it, but you don't have any choice, and I think they all understand, but it certainly doesn't make it any easier when you're putting that many people out on the street at one time. So we're fortunate to be able to help out people. We're trying to do stuff for first responders, 50% off whenever they come in, and take care of them because they're out there on the front line. So we're trying to do our best for them, and it's tough. And look, I've already talked to probably two or three people that I know in the restaurant business who say they're not coming back. They closed down, and that's it. They're just gonna move on to something else. So I don't think when this thing passes by, and hopefully it's soon, but you're probably gonna see somewhere between 12 to 20% of the restaurants probably don't even bother coming back, which is a pretty sad state of affairs. But it is what it is. It's the whole world's under this black cloud right now, and all we can do is try to stay healthy and get through it and see what happens after that.
And Kim, I want to ask you, like, from the restaurant side, is there any insurances? I know if you're like fire insurance, there's hurricane insurances. Yeah. Is there any insurance in the restaurant business?
Well, there's everybody. I just read an article today about Thomas Keller out in Northern California in Yountville. He's got French Laundry and all these high-end restaurants, and we're looking into it too, because everyone's got business interruption insurance, or most people do, and so he's having to sue to try to get that done, because and we've talked to our people, and we've got our attorneys working on this, because they're going, well, it's not, there's nothing keeping you from open right now. You go, what do you mean there's nothing keeping you from open? So they look like any relationship with a policyholder and an insurer. Policyholder wants his money. The insurer is going to do everything they can not to give you their money. And so I think that's what a lot of people are going to be going through with this business interruption problem. But that's, I think, from an insurance standpoint, Channing, that's really our only opportunity. Now, the stimulus package presents some other opportunities for short-term loans and some different things. So we're looking into all that. I think we're confident that we're going to come out of it on the other side. It's going to be a massive undertaking, and it's going to be a big job getting back to where not only us, everybody. And I just talked to John Offerdahl today, Elliot Wolf. I talked to him from Coconuts and Top Hat Deli and his places and other things. So everybody's trying to figure this out as you go. It's almost a day. I kind of get up in the morning every day and turn on the TV and see, well, what's new now, and what's new that's going to affect us in a positive way, and what's going to affect us in a business way. So we got our health. And everybody I know in our partnership and our groups are healthy. So that's the other thing that's very important to us all.
Kim Bocamper is with us. So give a little promotion here to the restaurants that you have that are open. So maybe this weekend people will order some takeout and keep local restaurants open. Which of your locations are open?
Well, we're open in Oakland Park, and Oakland Park is kind of unique because we've got a lot of boats come up. We've got a dock out there that's not really attached to our restaurant, so you can go and just sit there on the dock, and we got tables out there, and you can sit there and eat. It's probably as close as you can get to a dining experience. You order at the counter, and then our person just drops it by and to go stuff, and keeps on moving. Plantation is open, Miramar is open, and our Naples store is open. We've Las Olas we shut down a restaurant in Estero, and the beach shut down because there's the beaches are closed, and all the hotels down there are closed. So there's like literally nobody down on the beach. So, but we're trying to figure out something with that restaurant to where we can maybe help out the homeless or help out some people that are in really in dire need and use it that way. But that won't be, that restaurant won't be used for anything other than that type of a situation.
Well, if you're looking to order in this weekend, Bow Campers, do it. Let's take care of those who are good to the show and local businesses that have been around for a while. So everybody make it a point this weekend if you're in the area of a Bow Campers, order in some food. Kim Bow Camper is with us. Let me segue to football here. NFL has pretty much said the draft is going to go on as scheduled. I think it's good news. I think you got to do whatever you can to keep things normal. Do you think the draft should happen? And does it create a disadvantage for a team like the Dolphins who have three first-round draft picks?
No, I don't think it does. I think it would be business as usual. You know, back when I was drafted, there was no ESPN. There was no hoopla. You didn't even know. Yeah, you sat at home waiting for a phone to ring to find out when you were drafted. You didn't know if they were in the 10th pick of the draft, or the 10th round. There were 17 rounds back then. And it all worked out fine for everybody. You know, the one thing about it is you talk about sports, any sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, and everyone's playing, everyone's on a level field. Everyone's in the same situation, follow the same rules. So I think if they just go into a studio, do the draft, you know, there won't be any players there, but you know, the excitement will still be there. If you're a Dolphin fan, you're going to be watching. If you're a Buffalo fan, you're going to be watching. You know, the fans are going to watch because they want to know who's going to be in their team. So, you know, you just miss out. The players will miss out on being there for the event, especially in Las Vegas, and which has become a very special moment for those players to get drafted, and they get to go up on the stage with Roger Goodell. So that'll be, but I think as far as business will get done. The draft will work out fine. Everyone's going to know where they'll go. The big question is what is going to be the amount of off-season work that they get to between when this virus passes and the time that they're cleared to get back out on the football field and start working. Some people are saying, you know, the first time they may get bent and they get together, maybe at training camp, whenever that begins. Now that would be a difficult situation for the teams, much more difficult for the teams like the Dolphins or some of these other teams, the Redskins or all these teams that are trying to rebuild their team, much more difficult for them than, say, the Kansas City Chiefs or the 49ers or the Rams or some of those teams like that who had their groups together for a while and really could probably function just as well without OTAs, mini camps, and all those things more and more as the days go on, more and more it looks like a lot of those things maybe fall by the wayside to some degree.
And, Bo, you speak about the rebuild and the Dolphins, you know, with those 14 picks they have coming up, you know, in the draft, that's a big part. But the free agency, they brought some guys in already, and they still have $30 million, you know, to spend this offseason. How do you feel about the acquisitions the Dolphins have added to the roster?
Channing, I think we all looked at the roster prior to free agency and said, wow, man, there are a lot of holes to fill in this football team. You know, and then you let Rashad Jones go. You could see that coming, but another guy that's meant a lot to this organization for 10 years. And so another hole that you need to fill. But I think when you look at the 10 guys that they've signed, they filled a lot of holes. You know, they get the kid Ted Karras, a center. They get Eric Flowers as that guard. And you kind of feel that Michael Dieter's going to be better than he was last year. So, you know, you kind of feel pretty good about the middle of that offensive line, which allows you to go out and maybe run down a tackle, maybe two tackles. Talking to somebody a couple days ago and talking about the tackle, and you say, well, you know, yeah, grab a tackle, left tackle. Well, you know what? If you're going to get two, you may want to grab a right tackle. You got a left-handed quarterback. You know, that right tackle may be more important than the left tackle. So that may affect what happens in you know, when you go in the go looking for tackles. But I think, you know, you filled some holes in the offensive line. You go out and get Byron Jones. You're going to have two very good cornerbacks with X on one side and Byron on the other side. And then you go out and you get guys who can rush the passer. Kyle Van Noy can do everything. And he can play just about any position. He gives you pass rush. Shaq Lawson's going to give you pass rush. Ogba's going to give you pass rush. So you've got some people there. When you talk about Dolphins had 23 sacks last year, worse than the NFL. And at times the quarterbacks were just sitting back there with impunity, picking and choosing where they wanted to throw to. You know this, you got good coverage in the secondary, it's going to help your pass rush. If you got a good pass rush up front, it's going to help your secondary. And I think with the inclusion of those pass rushers, the addition of Byron Jones on the other side, opposite of X, and then you look at the safety position, and you got Bobby McCain, Eric Rowe, Jamal Wilson, Nick Needham, all guys that played a lot of significant downs last year. And those guys are probably going to make up the bulk of the safety position, and all of them have experience at cornerback. All of them have experience covering. And look at Eric Rowe. Eric Rowe showed last year that, you know, he's probably the best guy we've had over the last 10 years that can neutralize a tight end. He did a great job during the course of the year. They kind of found a spot for him in there, working over the tight ends, and so that helps. So, you know, I think you got a nice look in the secondary. You got a nice, you know, a nice start to the offensive line. Linebacker-wise, you're in good shape there. You got a lot of receivers. So, to me, now you look at running back. I know they picked up Jordan Howard. That helps, but you like to see him draft another running back. And, again, then quarterback and a couple tackles. And I think this team's a lot closer to being a solid group of starters, much closer than it was last year, and we haven't even gotten to the drafts yet.
Yeah, I think we totally agree with you, and I got to wrap it up because we're up against a break, but I would ask you, I mean, the notion of an AFC East without Tom Brady on the Patriots, yeah. Crowder and I kind of feel like the division is up for grabs. I'm not ready to anoint the Buffalo Bills, the division leaders, and certainly not the Jets, and I don't think the New England Patriots did very well in free agency, so I think it's up for the taking for the Dolphins.
I agree with you. I think, you know, obviously you take Tom Brady away from New England, and now you get to see what was it Brady or was it Belichick, right? Everyone's been waiting to figure that answer out for a long time. But they're certainly not going to be the team that they were with Tom Brady. You know, they let Gostkowski go. He's been really good for him for like 14 years, however long he's been there. So they're kind of going through a little rebuild there. And the Jets, I still don't know what the Jets are. I don't know, you know, what their situation is. They still seem to be a little bit of disarray up there. You got Buffalo coming out of the playoffs. They feel good about themselves. You know, they go out and get Diggs and some other guys out there to help rebuild that team. And to me, when I look at it right now on paper, at this point, we haven't, like as I said, this is pre-draft. I think right now, if you're going to pick two out of the hat, I would say Buffalo and the Dolphins are probably the front runners to take this division. Now, things can happen between now and then, but from where it stands right now, I feel pretty comfortable there.
Kimbo Camper, if you're looking for some food this weekend, hit up a Bo Camper's restaurant and pump some money into, like I say, local businesses that have been here for us for a long time. Thank you for making time for us, Bo, and keep social distancing.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I just want everyone out there to stay safe and do everything you're supposed to do, and we'll get through this thing together.
Hawk and Crowder talking to Kim Bocamper. Some highlights and some lowlights in that one. The restaurant industry, oh, man, it is suffering. If you're one of those people, my heart condolences go out to you. Hopefully we can rebuild our livelihoods as soon as possible. We're going to try to keep it as normal and as great as possible. Will this draft happen from the NFL? I think the draft will go down. And I think the Dolphins will actually get a very good draft. They got a lot of picks. They can't miss on all of them, right? That's me being pessimist. Let's be optimistic. Maybe they hit on all of them. Yeah, the Dolphins are going to hit on all the draft picks, and the world's just going to go shroom from there. I'm telling you, the draft is going to be the saving grace of not only Miami, but the whole world, but especially the Miami Dolphins. I'd like to thank you for joining me. Going to keep coming to you every single weekday from 6 to 7 right here on 560 The Joe. You can download the podcast for this show or any of the shows you've heard on this radio station, wherever you get your podcast for free, the radio.com app, which is free, or our website, WQAM.com, which is absolutely free. And if you have more free time, you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Day Radio. Yep, it's free to follow, and I am coronavirus free, especially online. Till next time, this is the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.